Good morning. Today's Daf in the Darm Pei Gimel. We're on Pei Beis Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting this morning at the two dots. We did already. Let's do it again. Short Amud Beis of yesterday's Daf. And a continuation. Well, actually, we're going to be starting a sugya anew. So let's just get acquainted, familiar. Once again, as we are here in the 11th parak, 10th and 11th parakim of the Masechta, deal extensively with hafara. Husband has the ability to be made for a neder of his wife if it falls under one of two categories. One category is inu nefesh. The other category is dvarim shebeino levena. And there are going to be differences between the two categories, but we already articulated that at the beginning of this parak. I'm not going to go over it again right now. But anyway, but as long as the neder qualifies, so the husband can be made for. There are other details which we've gone over. He only has 1 day window in order to be made for it. From the day that he hears it, exactly when the day is over, is a machlokas tanayim. Okay, there are many details that we touched on over the course of these couple of parakim. But in the meantime, right now, so our parak is focused primarily on what qualifies as inui nefesh. And let me throw out another big reminder, and that is it's a machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. What exactly is going to be the threshold of inui nefesh? So the Chachamim's threshold of inui nefesh is that it's the Chachamim are more sensitive, if you will. Not to be taken out of context, but the shita of the Tanakhama, the shita of the Chachamim of our Mishnah, is that not bathing, not putting on cosmetics, that qualifies, that falls under the category of inui nefesh. And she makes such a neder, the husband has the right now to be made for such a neder. And Rav Yossi's threshold is not that sensitive. Rav Yossi's of the position that not bathing and not putting on cosmetics, not being miskashet, is not going to fall under the category of inui nefesh, and therefore the husband can't qualify it. We had a lot of questions that we dealt with already. According to Rav Yossi, if it's not inui nefesh, does it fall under the category of dvarim shebeino levena? A question that the Gemara asked previously, just reminding all of us that was asked. But meanwhile, there's a general machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. And another reminder, the truth of the matter is this reminder is going to only serve us at the second half of today's daf, but that's fine. And that is that all the Mishnayos in our perek are following the sheet of Rav Yossi. Rav Huna made that point already a couple times in our perek. And as we're working our way through our perek, and we're going to be seeing later this morning an upcoming Mishnah, so that's going to be a healthy reminder that all Mishnayos in our perek are going to be following like Rav Yossi. So remember that our Mishnayos are going to be operating with a higher threshold of inui nefesh, meaning the Rav Yossi threshold of inui nefesh, not the Chachamim's threshold of inui nefesh. The Chachamim allow for a much wider range of what's going to fall in inui nefesh. Good. That's a general introduction. Now let's talk about today's daf, and let's talk about what we're about to embark on. And that is that now that we know that a neder can only be subject to hafara if it falls under the category of inui nefesh, let's say she makes a multi-layered neder. There are two loaves of bread in front of her, and one of them is delicious and the other one's disgusting. It's a stale loaf of bread. So for her abstention from the two loaves, one would be inui nefesh and the other one would not be inui nefesh. And now the husband can be mefer. Can he be mefer one part of the neder? Can he be mefer both parts of the neder? That's exactly the Gemara's question that we're going to be dealing with. Let's see it all together inside. I'm starting in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So we're on Pei Beis Amud Beis. We're 4 lines down from the top of the Amud. So there are 2 loaves of bread. So achas misane. One would be inui, meaning one's delicious. It's a good loaf of bread. And so so her abstention from that would qualify as inui nefesh. And the other one, ein masana. And the other one is disgusting. It's a stale loaf of bread. And so her abstention from eating that is not going to be considered inui. So mitokshu mefer lemasana, mefer l'shena masana. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel that mitoch, since he has the ability to be mefer the good loaf of bread, he can also be mefer the neder on her bad loaf of bread as well, even though that part of the neder doesn't qualify. Good. And Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, and on the other side of this issue is Rabbi Yochanan, quoted by Rav Asi. And that is Mefer L'Masana, Vei Mefer L'Sheni Masana. No, you're going to have to bifurcate. We're going to divide the neder into two, and the portion of the neder eligible for Afari can be Mefer, but the portion of the neder that he cannot be Mefer, he cannot be Mefer. Now, Igadar, now the Gemara just simply gives us another presentation of how to say this over, but it's going to come out to be the same point. Vaminei Ravasim Rav Yochanan Adra Meshek Kikaros Bachas Mesana Vachas and Mesana Mahu Amar Le Mefila Mesana Ve Mefila Shei Mesana. Good, in the Ika Da Amre, it just happens to be Q and A between Ravasi and Rav Yochanan. Ravasi asks Rav Yochanan what's the halacha, and Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you what the halacha is. On the loaf of bread that you can be made for, and the loaf that you can't. Good. Adkan, that takes us to the Gemara. We read this at the end of yesterday's daf, and now let's quickly review. So we saw together the Ran, meaning obviously we have a machlokas, a marayim, and the way we're going to lay it out right now is it's a machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, right? It's a machlokas between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael in terms of whether or not you could be mayfair the non-eligible portion of a neder. So what's the machlokas? What's the nekuda machlokas? So I'm sure there are many ways to say it, but we're going to say it like the Ran, because that's what we've been doing over the course of this Masechta. We've been saying it over like the Ran, and over here, no different. We're going to say it over like the Ran. So, in fact, if you want to see it together with me, I'm going to read the Ran inside. V'nira be'inai. In the Ran, the Ran Dibra Amascha V'Ravasi Amar Rav Yochanan. And we read this Ran yesterday, but good. Let's read it again today. It's just basic in terms of our understanding of the Sugya and the Machlokas. And it really will be taking us through the first half of today's daf. So everything is really grounded in this machlokas, and not everything. Most of today's daf, going up to the Mishnah, which is going to start in the Amud Beis, is going to be grounded in this machlokas, the Ran. Mishum dekrak seva isha yifrenu mafkinu mahakrala kamen detzarach abalye, shiafer kol haneder diyifirenu kule mashma. Okay, so the hafara means a neder in totality. The husband's revocation of a neder is a neder in total. And the Gemara is going to darshan like that later in this perek. Right? We're on today's daf is Pei Gimel. It's coming up on daf Pei Zayin. All right. A few days from now. V'im hefer miksasa afilo mashe hefer ina mufar. And what the husband cannot do with hafara is that hafara cannot be surgery. In other words, let me just be made for a little bit of the neder. You can't do that. Doesn't work. So the Shikachi Ikar Agirsa Beishmaita de la Kaman. And later on, we're going to have a couple of Girsa issues. And the Ran says, rest assured that I'm here for the Girsa issues. Okay? As we have been throughout this entire parak. Mishamhachi Kama de Kevisha Nadra Mishte Kikaras, Hare Kenedra Echavi, Efshala Lafer, Lachatan, Diaferan Uksiv. Good. So now let's first start explaining the Sheet of Shmuel. So when she makes a Neder, she included in her Neder two loaves of bread. Now, one's delicious and the other's disgusting. Okay, but it doesn't matter. It's one neder. So, mishum hachi mitoch shu tzarech lahafer v'yachol lahafer lemesana mishum inui nefesh mefer gam ken l'shein mesana diyamar lo matzi mefer nimsa shafa ferasa lemesana eno klum v'kevin derachmane yav le'rishus lahafer nadarm sheish by minui nefesh al karchach mefer af shein mesana de mesana b'shein mesana talya v'yamar lo matzi mefer ike inui nefesh. Good. So, he writes like this. And I'll summarize that. Look, now that one of the loaves of bread is eligible for hafara, and since hafara cannot be done surgically, and since hafara has to be done in total, so therefore the husband's right now, and it's not even just a right, meaning the only way he could be mefer is being mefer the neder in totality, which would include both loaves of bread. Okay, good. That's an explanation of Shmuel. Now the Ran says, now let's understand Rav Yochanan. V'Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan Meifer LeMesana VeMeifer LeShein Mesana. Good. Disfir LeDinei Difer and Amar Rachman DeMashmu Kulev Lo Pagei. And so the Ran in explanation of Rav Yochanan says, look, same starting point that the hafara can be done only in total and not in part. That part's true. Hain Lamar Shetzarich LaHafer Kol Haneder Shuyach LaHafer. Ah, but now it's just going to be a question of define total. The definition of total, the totality of hafara is whatever I can be mefer. You see, so her neder is going on two loaves. And one of those loaves is not eligible for hafara because it's disgusting. And therefore it's not inui nefesh, not subject to his hafara. So in other words, when we say that you can only be mefer the totality of a neder, so now let's throw in a qualifier. It's the totality of a neder of that which I can be mefer. And since the hafara can only go on inui nefesh items, so therefore you only can be mefer on the inui nefesh item, otherwise stated, the delicious loaf of bread. The yafirena dekra inui nefesh kai hilka choshe hefer kol ma sheyesh bo inui nefesh ba'achisagi v'yafirena karina bay. And therefore, the hafara can only go on the good loaf, on the loaf that would constitute inui nefesh, and vis-a-vis that loaf, it's considered a hafara in total. Good. And then the Ran goes on from there. Okay, that is the pshat of the Gemara as explained by the Ran. Good. So we have now a machlokis between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. She's making an eder in two loaves of bread. One loaf qualifies as inui nefesh, the other one does not. Husband now can be mefer. Can he be made for both? Can he only be made for one? It's a machlokis amarayim. We just went over it and had to understand the machlokis. So we just presented the run. So far, so good. That is what's called the daf, esvei. So what we're going to be doing now for a good part of today's daf is the usual. And that is that we're going to be looking at Mishnayos and Braisos together to see which of these positions is more defensible within various Mishnayos and Braisos. So let's go. We're going to go over a number of rounds of this. Round number one. Eitzvei, the Gemara challenges Aisha Shenadrim and Azir Vaisa Shosa Yainu Matam LaMesim. So, a woman who takes upon herself to become a Nazir and drinking wine Matam LaMesim, and she's just not good at this Nazir thing. She's drinking wine. The Nazir's not allowed to drink wine. She's going to the cemetery. Nazir's not allowed to go to the cemetery. So, fine. So she is in basic violation of her Nazirus. So what's the consequences? We all know. Meaning that if done intentionally with witnesses and a warning, so what's the punishment? It's a law in the Torah. It's a standard negative prohibition in the Torah. So she becomes eligible to Malkus. And that's exactly what the Mishnah says. We're on the top of Pei Gimel and Aleph. Harezu Sofeg Asar Abayim. So she's subject now to Malkus. She's going to get 40 lashes. Fine. All well and good, meaning that's not good, but in other words, it's exactly what we expected. Hefer la bala vihilo yada shehefer la v'aiso shosiyanu matam lemesim and esofegas arabayim. So let's say husband hears about about his wife's nazirus. Husband says nothing doing. I don't want my wife to become a nazir. And again, the husband has every right to be mefer, so he's mefer the neder. Okay, a nazirus is a neder. And we've already spent some time trying to ascertain, and I know when we open up with Nazirus, we're also going to try to ascertain exactly how does it work legabe nedarim, meaning is it a standard neder, is it a specialty within nedarim? Okay, anyway. But for our purposes right now, we could say it's simply because it's true. Nazirus is a form of a neder, and therefore the husband can be mefer. And over here, the husband is mefer. Happens to be she didn't hear that the husband was mefer the neder. Okay, but doesn't matter. In other words, with the husband's hafara of the neder, it's a revocation of her neder. And therefore, even if she goes out and drinks wine and she goes to the cemetery, not knowing that her husband was made for the neder, so she's not subject to any kind of punishment. Why? Because the nazirus is gone. Husband was made for it. So ain't sofeg es arabim. She's not subject to the to malchus. So far, so good. Okay, what do we have in front of us? A really basic outline of a wife making a neder, specifically that of being a nazir. And in the first case, pashut, husband wasn't made for it. She violates, she's subject to malchus. Second part of the brisa, husband was made for it. Even if she didn't know, she's no longer eligible for malchus. So far, so good. Why are we discussing this mishnah over here, the brisa over here? Because I amart mefer lemisana ve'in mefer l'shein misana doma min yain des leitzara hefer la min chartzan uminazag lo hefer la dahalo is leitzara v'tisbog etzara ba'im. Could we not carve out the following? When you're a nazir, so you're not allowed to drink wine, you're not allowed to eat any grape product, including any part of the grape. Okay. So that means to say that as a nazir, grape seeds, you can't eat. Grape skins, you can't eat. Okay, now, as far as grape skins are concerned, I don't know, maybe they're good, maybe they're not good. I know the Gemara just also gave the grape skins as an example. But grape seeds, I think we can all agree. Okay, anyone sitting down, ready to enjoy grape seeds? The answer, of course, is no. Right, they're not an edible portion of the grape. Yet, the Nazir is bound by his Nazirus that he's not allowed to eat the grape seed. Him eating, or in this case, she eating the grape seed, would violate the Issur in the Torah of being a Nazir. Okay. So, can we do the following now regarding the husband's hafara of his wife's Nazirus? And that, can we segment it? Can we fragment it? In other words, on the wine portion of the grape, right? On the juice of the grape. So, in other words, that it could be mefer. But, in other words, is the grape seed, is that inui nefesh? Of course not. And so maybe the husband's ability to be made for his wife's neder should only be limited to the juice, but not to the grape seed. If that's true, right, like Rav Yochanan is espousing, if in fact that's true, so now her nazirus is still going to be in effect vis-a-vis the grape seed. And therefore, if she goes ahead and eats grape seeds, even post-afara, she should be subject to malchus. And yet in the Braisa, we don't get any of that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, and nazirus lechatzayin. Perhaps you already thought of the answer. The Gemara says, no. Nazirus is a package deal. Meaning nazirus, there's no such thing as partial nazirus. Right? Once you're a nazir, it's a very clear expectation of what you are bound by and what you're not bound by. And once the husband lifts and removes some of the nazirus, the entire nazirus goes away. There is no way that nazirus can go ahead and be surgically removed. Part of it, yes. Part of it, no. No. Nazirus is totally a package deal. And so therefore, once the husband lifts the nazirus, all parts of it are lifted, including the grape seeds. Okay. So now Abaye is listening carefully to what Rav Yosef said. Rav Yosef says that there's no nazirus lechatzayin, but maybe there's carbon for chatzin nazirus. Is that what Rav Yosef is saying? So Elam Rabbi nazirus lechatzayin vein carbon lechatzayin. So Abaye says no. Just for purposes of clarification, I'm stating for the record, nazirus, there's no nazirus for chatzayin, meaning just like we just laid out, you can't lift part of the nazirus, right? The wine, I don't want her to become a nazir for the wine, but for the grape seeds, she's going to remain a nazir. We don't do that. That's ein nazirus lechatzayin, and also ein karban lechatzayin as well, and there's also no karban for part of the nazirus, right? The Ron explains over here, what does that mean? There's no karban for part of the nazirus. It means that, let's say, she counted nazirus, and she didn't count the full 30 days, okay? She was expected, she was going to be a nazir for 30 days, and she made it through 2 weeks of the nazirus, and the husband said, enough already. Okay. And he cuts her off after having served, let's say, half of her nazirus. Okay. So now half of her nazirus has been served. So maybe now she should bring a karban for half of the nazirus. Nope. We don't say that. In other words, if she didn't serve a full term of nazirus, there is zero karbans to be brought. Good. And Abaye, meaning, and Rav Yosef may have meant that as well. Abaye was just simply clarifying that point within Rav Yosef. All right. So, what do we try to do? We try to take out Rav Yochanan based on this Mishnah. The Gemara says there's nothing to take out. This Mishnah is not going to affect Rav Yochanan's position at all. Rav Yochanan says that on the two loaf case, so the husband can only be mefer on the loaf that qualifies as inui. The other loaf is not qualify for the hafara, but that has nothing to do with nazirus. Because when it comes to nazirus, either you are or you aren't a nazir. That is a binary position. And there's no way to go ahead and to start carving out nazirus. Okay. Meisvei, let's do this again. Haisha shenadra b'nazir, v'yifrisha behemta v'achakach, hefer la bala, mivi chatzasov, v'ne mivi olasov. Okay, so we have the following scenario here in this next braisa. A woman becomes a nazir, and she takes on a nazirus. Now, we're going to add the following. And now the addition that I'm adding into this braisa is because the Ron says it. And the Ron is saying it because the Ron is reading the braisa super carefully, which is what we're supposed to be doing. And that is that what happens after she takes on to become an Uzzer, she becomes Tameh. Okay. Now let's do a quick review. Okay. I know we're about to learn Masechta Nazir in about a week from now. And so all this is going to be like readily available information for us not on a daily basis in Nazir, but pretty regularly. Okay. What is the carbon count for a Nazir? So it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about the conclusion of Nazirus, in other words, the Malos, right? A Nazir successfully finished counting their Nazirus. So what do they bring at the end of the Nazirus? Three carbonos. And they are a Chatas, an Ola, and a Shlamim. And that's just a starting point. Many details to follow, but that we don't need to know that right now. We just need to hear those three karbanos, chatos, ola, and shlamim. Now, let's say the nazir didn't conclude his nazirus, and let's say right in the middle of their nazirus, they become tummy. He or she becomes tummy. So now they have to bring karbanos for a nazir betuma. That's a separate complement of karbanos. Notably, a chatos, an asham, and an ola. Okay? And I know it sounds similar, but it's not the same. right? In other words, for a Nazirus b'malos, it is a chatas ola and shlamim. For a Nazir b'tuma, it's an asham chatas and ola. In addition to that, also, for the chatas and the ola, they're coming as a pair of birds, not as animals. Okay. So it's a lot to keep in mind. So, but meanwhile, over here, so she took on to become a Nazir. She became Tmeya. Now she's bringing her karbanos. Her karbanos that she's bringing is going to be a chatas and ola, bird, and an asham. Okay. Now, in the Braisa, Hifrishas Behemta, so what did she do? She didn't bring the karbanos yet. She set aside the karbanos. And now, Va'achaka chefer labala, the husband was mefer. So, mevi chatas ha'of, ein mevi ola ha'of. So, even though now, what happened to her Nazirus, we're done. In other words, the husband's mefer. Aye, but she set aside the karbanos already. So as far as the asham is concerned and the quote-unquote disposal of the carbon asham, okay, we're not even going to get there. We're not even going to touch that. In other words, it requires a disposal, but not for now. As far as the ola is concerned, the ola probably can be brought. The chiddush is that she can bring the chatas, she can bring her carbon chatas. Now that, of course, is very unusual. She can bring her carbon chatas. How in the world can she do that? In other words, her Nazirus is come to a conclusion. It's not even come to a conclusion. It's gone. The husband was Mayfair. And now, because she was a Nazir, and because she became Tameya, and because she set aside the Karbanos, so there is a Chatas right now, a Chatas bird that's outstanding. The husband was Mayfair the Neder, now she can bring the Chatas bird. How does that work? So the Ran explains over here. I'll tell you how it works. Because of all the Karbanos out there, meaning a standard carbon Chatas where? A carbon Chatas that's no longer needed, needs proper disposal. However, when it comes to a chatas bird, it's the most makel of all karbanos. It could be brought, even though it's not. It may not be necessary. Okay. If you got all that, that's great. And if not, I admit, by the way, that's just a lot of information just dropping right down. The point of all this is the following. So, mivia chatasov ein mivia olasov. Okay. I amart ein karban lachatsi nizira samai mivia chatasov. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Didn't you just tell me that there's no such thing as carbon for chatzi nazirus? Meaning over here, she clearly didn't conclude her nazirus. And she's not going to be concluding her nazirus. The husband intervened halfway through her nazirus. She became Tmeya. So now she's partly through her nazirus, but again, there's not going to be a conclusion. And now she's Tmeya. And now you're telling me that she brings a carbon chatas for her tuma? So ve'elamai, Yesh karmel chatzi nazirus, so shalosh behemos by lasuye chatzos olo shlamim. And so the Gemara says, okay, so where do you want to go now? You want to tell me that there are karbanos for a partial nazirus? Okay, so then bring all three karbanos. And again, by the way, this part of the Gemara is definitely confusing because over here, which karbanos did the Gemara just outline? The chatzos, the olo, and the shlamim. Now, if in fact we're talking about a tuma situation. So then what you expected the Gemara to say is a chatas, an asham, and an ola. So over here the Gemara says chatas, ola, shlamim. Again, the Ram picks up on this and the Ram points out that over here there are ways to read the Gemara. In fact, the Ram offers a couple of ways to read the Gemara. I'll tell you what, we could just simplify the whole point of the Gemara over here. I'm just streamlining the Gemara right now. And that is, look, either there is partial Nazirus or there is no partial Nazirus. If there's partial Nazirus, bring all the Karbanos. And if there's no partial Nazirus, bring zero Karbanos. But this idea that she's going to be bringing her Chatas bird, I don't understand that. So, Ela la'olam in Karban l'chatzi Nazirus v'chatas of Damasya, mishum dechatas ala safek. So the Gemara says basically what we said previously, and that is that really we're on the binary discussion of either it's all or nothing, it's nothing. It's nothing. In other words, if you don't conclude your Nazirus, you don't bring any Karbanos. So over here, she's bringing her Chatas bird. I know she's bringing her Chatas bird. But again, we're going to repeat what we said before, but now we're just going to say a little more emphatically. And that is that a Chatas bird can be brought even al Safek. Meaning, there doesn't have to be any, quote unquote, real reason why you need to bring a Chatas bird. It can be brought even al Safek. So being that as it may, so really, there is no karbanos for chatzi nazirus. The chatzos bird just happens to be that we could be the most makel of all karbanos when it comes to the Chatas Haof.
And you can't eat it.
And it can't, and Rav Chaim points out correctly, and obviously not eligible for eating. And the only one who would be eating it anyway would be the Kohen, but still. In other words, but he's right. We're not gonna be eating it. Okay. Again, let's reset over here. We're in the middle of a machlokas amarayim between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. We're talking a scenario which, a woman is making a neder on two loaves of bread. One is good, and the other loaf of bread is not good. One is subject to inui, and the other one is not. Which of those two can the husband be mefer? Shmuel says both loaves of bread. Rav Yochanan says only one loaf of bread, only the one eligible for inui. Good. That's the machlokas. We have now been going two rounds in. Mishnayos happens to be talking about Nazirus, but the point is that the question on the table is, why not go ahead and subdivide the Nazirus? And the answer has been pretty much, you can't do that. In other words, when it comes to Nazir, once the husband's made for Nazirus, it's either all or nothing. Good. With that stated, Esvei, here we go, one more round for today on this particular topic. Isha shenadrim Nazir v'nit mizvach ha'kachef la'bala, mivi chatasov v'mivi olasov. So here, it sounds very similar, where she makes an edit to become a Nazir. She becomes Tameya. And then after her Tumah, the husband is Mayfair. So she'll bring the chata, she won't bring the ola. Now, iamar mefer la masana ve'im mefer la'in masana. So dilma mi yandias leitzara hefer la, mi tumas mesa leitzara lo hefer la. And once again, why don't we go in for that surgical strike? And that is, why not do the hafara on the wine? Meaning, not drinking wine, abstention from wine, that's inui. And so why not the husband just simply say, look, on the wine portion of your nazir, like, that's it. In other words, I have the ability to be mefer. I am being mefer. Now, not going to a cemetery. Is that considered inui nefesh not to go to a cemetery? It's hard to imagine. Meaning, if a person is banned and restricted from going to a cemetery, is that person in the state of inui? Kohanim can't go to a cemetery under most circumstances. Is that inui? So what the Gemara is thinking right now is, that's not inui nefesh. So maybe over here, so the husband is going to be mefer on the drinking of wine, but can't be mefer on the going into the cemetery. And so it can't that be? And vis-a-vis the cemetery now, she's still a nazir. Good. Now at this point in time, what do you expect the Gemara to say? Okay, so what I would have expected the Gemara to say is, it's a nazir. It's all or nothing. In other words, either you're a nazir or you're not a nazir. And you can't surgically go ahead and start picking out parts of nazir which is subject to Afara, and parts of Nazir which is not subject to Afara. In other words, a Nazir Sachatzayin. That's what you would expect the Gemara to say. The Gemara doesn't say that. So, but rather, what does the Gemara say? So, Mitumas Meis Alei Tzara Lo Hefer La, Amrei. So, in the yeshiva, this is how they answer the question. Tumas Meis Nami Yislei Tzara, Dechsiva Chayitena Libo, Vitanya Ayur Rebbe Meir Omer, called Dechsiva Chayitena Libo. Sorry. My Dechsiva Chayitena Libo, Di Yispo Dispadun Lei, Di Yivkun Yivkun Lei, Okay, so Chayitena Libo, Pasuk and Kohelas, and the Gemara Darshans, and we've had this drasha before, and that is the basic idea that what you do will be done to you. Okay, in other words, there's a certain give and take in life, and you go ahead and you're involved in a funeral, so your funeral will be taken care of. If you do not involve yourself in funeral, your funeral is not going to be taken care of. And so, despite the fact that, all right, you go to a cemetery, and obviously you're going for the right reasons, but also incorporated in that is that you go to a cemetery and you're involved in other people's burial, so then there are assurances that your funeral will also be taken care of as well. And so, therefore, there is an element of inui nefesh as it relates to going to a cemetery, because now you know that when you go to the cemetery and properly eulogize and properly bury and involve in other people's last rites and last passages, yours is going to be taken care of as well. And so there is a certain comfort in going to a cemetery. Now, the Ron points out over here, so, and I'm sorry, before we get to the Ron. And so basically what the Gemara is saying is, going to the cemetery also qualifies as inui nefesh as well. Now, the Ron over here asks the obvious question, why didn't the Gemara also just simply say, ein azir sachatzayin, meaning the husband can't do that. He can't say, I'm lifting one part of Nazir, but I'm leaving the other part of Nazir. You can't do that. So the Ran, The Ran does give a couple of answers, but part of the second answer of the Ran is that basically the Gemara also wants to make this point as well. Meaning, both points are valid points. The Gemara, in addition, wants to make this point as well. Okay, Ad Kan. And so, where do we end? Traditionally, where we end? It's a Machlokas on Merayim. We have Mishnayos and Brisos. Wonderful. We have Mishnayos and Brisos, but it does not impact the Machlokas on Merayim. It remains. It's a Machlokas on Merayim. A woman makes a neder over two loaves of bread. One is inui. One qualifies as inui. The other one doesn't. The husband can be mefer. Can he be mefer both? Shmuel would say yes. Rav Yochanan would say no. He can only be mefer the loaf that's eligible for inui. Ad kan. Meaning that's the end of the Gemara. As far as the Gemara is concerned, the discussion is over. We tried to prove one position over the other. And the Gemara says, and unsuccessful.
Sounds
similar. In other words, right? If something causes you pain, so then that's sar inu nefesh. And again, just as a reminder, by the way, that threshold is going to be subject to whether we go like Rav Yossi or like the Chachamim in terms of where exactly the threshold is. But yes, they're basically the same. And by not going to a cemetery, so you now are going to be it's going to be stressful not to go to a cemetery. Therefore, that it qualifies as inu nefesh. Okay. That's how the Gemara is saying it over. Konim Shani Nen Nelebrios. We are here now on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, and we are starting now the next Mishnah. So in this Mishnah over here, so a discussion of more discussion of what is subject to Afara, what is not subject to Afara. So she makes the following statement, and that is Konim Shani Nen Nelebrios. So Inu Yochel Hafer. I'm not going to be getting any benefit from anyone in this world. Okay, this woman over here, that's it. She's done with people. I want to be totally independent. So it does not qualify in a yachal hafer, so the husband cannot be made for such a neder. Now, that sounds a little bit strange, does it not? In other words, her now insistence that she's not going to be getting benefit from anybody, so how in the world can she function? That's a pretty good question. And then Alan adds, and we'll add as well, does that not include the husband? So in other words, so where exactly is she going to be receiving support from if the neder includes the husband? That's another wonderful question. So look at the Ran right now. In other words, we got a little bit of unpackaging to do, but still, Eino Yahachul HaHafer. So the Ran says, Afagav Damer Shmuel Hanas Poni Allah Yafer. Hasik Nala Deshmuel Karabban Sfer Leid Demekel Binu Nefesh Bekula Pirkin Rabbi Yossi. So the Ran points out, okay, now, if you remember what we learned previously in this perek, Shmuel made a comment, and Shmuel said, Hanas ploni alai. All she does is she says, I'm not getting benefit from one person. And remember Shmuel said, okay, we're in the inui nefesh department, and therefore the husband can be made for such a neder. Now what? Meaning, over here in our Mishnah, she's not going to be getting benefit from anybody in the world. And over here, that doesn't qualify as inui nefesh. So the Ran reminds us, I told you, it's going to come up later today. Here's where it comes up. The Ran reminds us we're learning a Mishnah here. So again, every time we're learning a Mishnah in the 11th Perek, so a reminder is necessary. Mishnayos in the 11th Perek are going like Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi's threshold of Inu and Nefesh is really high. And so therefore, it's kind of hard to imagine, but we're saying it. This doesn't qualify as Inu and Nefesh according to Rav Yossi. Okay? It's right. The easier question to ask, and it's not easy to answer, is what is the inui nefesh according to Rav Yossi? Meaning not bathing is not inui nefesh. Not putting on cosmetics is not inui nefesh. Not benefiting from anyone in the world is not inui nefesh. Okay, I'm not sure if I have the right answer, but fine. So in other words, all these Mishnahs are going like Rav Yossi, and when you're here, and once we get into the Gemara and you hear comments by Shmuel, not comments, but statements of Shmuel, benefiting from one person is inu nefesh, and Shmuel says, okay, now the husband can be made for it. Great, because Shmuel's talking within the sheet of the Chachamim. And according to the Chachamim, that threshold for inu nefesh is significantly wider. Okay, good. Now, as far as Alan's question that still needs to be answered, meaning she says, I'm not getting benefit from anybody. Is that including the husband? Is that not including the husband? I'm leaving that open-ended, but just for a minute. We're going to close that question in just a moment. But let's first finish the Mishnah. So konim shanin en elabrio, so ainu yachol hafer, not subject, not eligible for hafara. And v'yachol hi lehanos b'lekesh chopeya. Now, in terms of eating, where is she going to go for eating? She can go to lekesh chopeya. So we know that that in Eretz Yisrael, so there are various soup kitchens, right? That the poor people can go to. And so they can get leket, they can get shechen, they can get peah. And you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through right now all the details of all these various matnos aniyim. Right now, I'll just simply say they're matnos aniyim, and she can go and she can collect these matnos aniyim. Now, is that in addition to her husband? Is that meaning excluding her husband? Again, the Mishnah needs to be ironed out. We're going to do that in just a moment. Kohen Kohanim Levim Nenim Li Yitlu Al Karcho. So let's say she makes the following neder. So anything of mine is going to be prohibited to the Kohanim and the Levim. And basically now she's making a neder of her items to that of the Kohanim and the Levim. So Yitlu Akarcha. So the Kohanim and the Levim are going to be knocking on her door and saying, you have Truma to give, you have Meiser to give, we're going to help ourselves to it. Despite the fact that she made a neder. Okay, that also needs clarification. We're going to get there. Kohanim elu levim elu nenim li. So if her neder is that these Kohanim and these levim are not going to get hana for me, so yitlu acherim. So these Kohanim are going to have to collect from other people. Again, all this is going to be clarified not in today's daf. In today's daf, we're just going to be focusing on the first part of the Mishnah, and that is that she is now making a neder. Nobody in the world, let's quote the Lashon of the Mishnah, Konim sh'aninene labrios. I am not getting hana from anyone in this world, from any of the brios. So, ama efshar demizanim delay. Now, what it sounds like, the way to read the Mishnah is that she's not going to be getting any benefit from the world, with notable exception to her husband. Meaning her husband are not considered people of the world. Okay. So michlal, the ba'alav michlal briosu. So ema seifa, the Gemara says, okay, but on that, I'm going to turn your attention to the second half of the Mishnah. Because in the second half of the Mishnah, what does it say? It says, ema seifa, v'yichol l'hans b'lakit shechopeya, aval medabal lo achla. Now, when I'm reading the second half of the Mishnah, where is she going to be going for her food? She'll be going to lakit shechopeya, various soup kitchens. So, but not her husband, ama bal b'chol briosu, which makes it sound like her husband is in fact a brio. He's a person. Okay. So basically what's happening in the Gemara right now is the Gemara is really struggling how to understand the Mishnah. Meaning the opening line of the Mishnah where she says, Konim shani nene labrios. I'm not getting any benefit from anybody. Okay. And what it sounds like, if I just stopped over there, what it sounds like is that doesn't include her husband. No. That's what it sounds like. But then as I read the next part of the Mishnah, and where is she going for her food? She's going to the soup kitchen. And she's not going to her husband. Well, what do you mean? Her husband was not considered one of the Brios HaOlam. Okay, so it needs clarification. And also, by the way, the Ran points out over here, this is a longer discussion, but I'll quickly reference. The Ran points out over here, let's just leave it as it is. Okay. So Amar Ula Olam La Bechla Briosu. So Ula says, here's how you understand the Mishnah. And that is that the truth of the matter is that when she makes this neder, that she's not being mahana from the Brios HaOlam, that would not include her husband. Meaning, basically, it's understood. Her husband is obviously somebody special and different than everybody else. She just doesn't want to benefit from anybody other than her husband. That's the way to interpret the statement of Konim Shani Nene Labrios. Okay, meaning excluding the husband. V'od Ein Yachol Lahafer. And I'm going to give you another reason why it is that he can't be made for the neder. Meaning, in addition to the fact that he can support her, he's allowed to do so. But as far as I'll give you another reason why he can't be made for. In other words, there's also soup kitchens as well. Soup kitchens will not be a violation of her neder. Okay, let's make a couple of quick points over here. Number one, why are soup kitchens okay? Why is Lekesh Chompeya okay? So the Ran points out over here, because when it comes to those, there is no direct distribution. Okay? In other words, when the Torah describes Lekesh Chompeya, so it says, La'ani ta'zov osam. Okay, and I'm sure I did a terrible job quoting the pasuk, but the idea basically I got right. And that is that it's aziva. In other words, for the aniyim, you leave it for the aniyim, but there is no direct distribution from the owner to the ani. Oh. So therefore, when she is taking leket shechan peah, so she's basically taking it from some sort of corporate entity. I'm giving a modern description of it, but you understand. In other words, it's not coming from the owner. It's coming from the institution of leket shechan peah. Oh. Masha'en kein, that's not like truma. And it's not like Meiser. So by Truma Meiser, what is that? That's an Asina. So that is a direct distribution from one person to another. Okay, good. So that's why it is that Leket Shechem Peah for her is not going to be a violation of her neder. Also, right, the point that I, you know, refrained from saying earlier, but now I'll say it. So her husband's, according to this first approach of Ula, so her husband's allowed to provide for her. Where's her husband getting the food from? So the husband is obviously getting the food from somebody else. Other people who she's not allowed to get benefit from. So the Ron over here points out, how is that working exactly? In other words, she's not allowed to get benefit from anybody in the world, but she's allowed to benefit from her husband. Right? But isn't that food now obviously all being generated by other people? And how does that food now become permissible simply because now it's going through the husband? Husband's buying it and now it becomes permitted? So the Ron says that what you have to say over here is that her neder is not on the food, it's on the provider. In other words, she doesn't want anyone else to be a provider other than her husband. So fine. In other words, that's the emphasis of the neder. The neder under discussion right now is a neder on the provider, not so much on the food itself. And so therefore, who's going to be feeding me? Only my husband. Now again, she can go leket shechem peah because that's not a direct distribution. That's a ziva. That's fine. But in addition to that, she can also go to the husband because the neder is focusing on the provider and her husband's not considered one of the members of the brios.
Is that the intent rather than what was said, though?
So what the Ron is saying is that incorporated in this language is that particular intent. Again, if she has a different intent in mind and she expresses it, so then obviously, if she's articulate and she's able to express it, fine. Otherwise, this is the default understanding of the comment. Okay, the Gemara now is going to be giving two more answers over here, Rav and Rav Nachman. But the truth of the matter is that this goes into tomorrow's daf, and tomorrow, again, all these dafim are pretty short in nature. So we'll pause over here, and we'll leave the answers number 2 and 3 for tomorrow, and we'll save ourselves off. And also, the second half of the Mishnah needs clarification as well. That's also coming up tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. All right, there are two parts of today's daf. It's actually pretty straightforward. So in part number one of today's daf, a woman is making an neder on two loaves of bread. One qualifies as inui nefesh and the other does not. And the husband can be mefer. He wants to be mefer. So under the circumstances where he's being mefer, he certainly can be mefer the inui bread. Can he also be mefer the non-inui bread? So Shmuel would say yes, and Rav Yochanan would say no. We saw the Ran, beginning of today's daf, how to understand that machlokas. And then for most of today's daf, back and forth, Mishnayos, Brisos, mostly having to do with a woman being a nazir in terms of whether or not a Baal Mefer, the husband who's being Mefer, the Nadarm or a Naziris of his wife, can there be surgical precision in the Hafara? From the Brisos, the answer would seem to be no. But again, every time the Gemara basically rejects, that's nazir, a nazir sechatzayin. It's not a good model for our discussion. Fine. And then the second half of today's daf, she's making a neder on Brios HaOlam. I'm not getting hana from Brios HaOlam. So is her husband included? Right now we worked with one position of Ula. Husband's not including the neder. Husband will be a provider. And in addition to that, she can also go Leket Shechem Peah as well.